The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord, the Good Shepherd. Over the years, in various religion classes, whenever the shepherd and sheep image has come up on the basis of various biblical texts, I've made it a point to ask the class if there is anyone who has had experience in working with sheep. And since not so many of us come directly from farm life, as used to be the case, there haven't been many who have claimed experience with sheep, but it does happen from time to time. And I like to ask those people to comment on the nature of sheep in their experience. I can tell you this, there is one response that I have simply never heard from those with experience with sheep. Nobody has ever said, "Sheep, in my experience, manifest a very high level of intelligence and a high capacity for taking care of themselves." Just never heard it. The comments, in fact, usually communicate ideas that are exactly the opposite of those things. I recall one fellow many years ago who said something like this, "Sheep are a pain in the neck. My mom and dad kept sheep and made me tend them just to keep me busy and out of mischief when I was in high school by the constant care that they required." To be lacking in intelligence, if it's appropriate to apply that word to animal behavior, to be lacking in intelligence, that's one thing. Add the quality of stubbornness to that, and you've got a serious problem on your hands. And that combination seems to characterize sheep. The character and behavior of sheep constitute, therefore, a very apt metaphor for the spiritual condition of human beings in our fallen state. All we, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. Can it be any clearer than that? Repentance begins with admitting that this is so. We've lost our way. Death looms before us in all its dimensions. The spiritual death of unbelief, physical death, and the horror of eternal death. There's nothing within our powers to do anything about it. Helplessness and hopelessness describe our situation. The lost sheep is a pathetic picture, and the picture portrays us in our need. Our reading from John 10 shows us another of those sharp exchanges between Jesus and those who vehemently opposed him. It was winter in Jerusalem. It was the time of the Hanukkah celebration, the festival of the rededication of the temple. The very purpose of that structure was to teach people about their need for redemption and to point them to the redemption that God provided for them. Malachi had prophesied some 400 years earlier, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And there he was, God in human flesh, walking the covered walkway called Solomon's porch in the temple compound. In him, all the details of the temple came to one bright focal point, the office of the priest, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin, the most holy place, atonement and reconciliation with God. He was the very embodiment of all those things that the temple was designed to teach. He was the winner and provider of redemption, the one who gave his life as the ransom for all. On that day, Jesus found himself surrounded by people in Solomon's porch who demanded an answer from him, and it was clear that their intent was not friendly conversation. It was also clear that it was not a genuine quest for truth. Rather, it was to find reasons to justify their prejudices against him. They demanded of him, "How long will you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus' response penetrated directly to the core of the problem. He responded bluntly, "I told you, but you don't believe." And furthermore, he added, "You do not believe because you are not of my sheep." The problem was that hardened condition of the human heart, that knee-jerk reaction against the things of the Spirit of God that characterizes the human condition. He came to his own people, and they did not receive him. Light came into the world in him, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So how is that impenetrable wall of the darkness of unbelief to be overcome? The biblical answer is this: it's only in the hearing of the word. Wherever we turn in the Bible, the answer is the same. "Hear, O Israel," Moses said to the Israelites of his time. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord said, "Listen carefully to me, incline your ear, and come to me, and hear. Hear the word of the Lord." This is the theme reiterated across the whole sweep of Bible history. And what comes of that? St. Paul explains, faith comes by hearing, and not hearing just any old thing, but hearing the hearing of the word of the Lord. And Isaiah explains the benefit of hearing. "Hear, and your soul shall live." Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life." This is the pattern of religion set forth in the Bible from beginning to end, Old Testament and New. God provides salvation. He gives it to us through his word. In the hearing of his word, faith is created. Faith grabs hold of eternal life. In the beginning, God commanded light to shine out of darkness by the power of his word. And among us, he causes the light of salvation to shine in our hearts by the power of his word and gives the gift of faith. In the year 1530, the Lutheran confessors stood before the secular and church authorities of their time, and in the face of all kinds of teaching regarding how salvation is brought to people, they confessed, "The Holy Spirit creates faith where and when he pleases in those who hear the gospel. And also in this place and at this time, God wills to create and sustain saving faith in us by his word. Blessed are those who hear the word. Faith comes by hearing. Hear, and your soul shall live. Amen."